Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, so let's get started. So this is class number 3 on our covenant between the parts. We're going to do a very brief, quick summary of what we did last week. Last week we did Rashi. We've been through the first week, we went through the actual verses and raised all of our questions. Last week we started going through Rashi, and today, Mirtz Hashem, will go through the Ramban. So just a quick summary of what we got last week, especially as we'll contrast that with the way that the Ramban understands. We broke this down into two stories, the first 6 verses and then the back half of the story, which we'll address. The first 6 verses are pretty straightforward as far as the general summary. The overview would be that it was after these things, after the war with the 4 kings and the 5 kings, Hashem comes to Avram and says 3 things. Fear not, I am a shield, your reward will be great. That is Hashem's opening remark to Avram. I guess as we do the review, we'll actually do it with Rashi. So Rashi explained what was Avram afraid of. He was afraid, A, that he would be punished for having killed so many people during the war with the 4 kings and the 5 kings. And B, he was afraid that he had used up all of his reward for the miraculous events of the war. That was, Rashi understood, the 2 fears of Avraham, a fear of punishment for killing people, and a fear of using up a reservoir. Since it took a miracle for him to emerge unscathed through that war, he'd used up all of his reward. And Hashem's response is, A, I am a shield for you, meaning I'll protect you from any form of punishment, and B, your reward is in fact great. Don't worry about having used up your reservoir of reward. Your reward will in fact be great. Avram then responds in verses 2, 3, what can you possibly give me? I go childless, so that anything that you give me will be meaningless because I don't have a child, and the only one who will inherit me will be this steward of my home, this Eliezer. Verse 4, Hashem appears to him suddenly and says, absolutely not, that person will not inherit you. You do not need to worry about that, only from someone who will come from within. And then we spend some time on Rashi, we're just reviewing right now, Rashi verse 5. So then Hashem then takes him outside and tells him, if you can count the stars, that will be your offspring. So if you can count them. And Rashi went through over there that the simple meaning was he physically took him outside, and then Rashi quoted the Medrash that there really would be no need for that drama. Really what he was doing was taking him like above the stars, so to speak. Like, you are correct in the way that you're reading your astrology that you will not have a child, but you're above that. That was Avram and Sarai who are not going to have children. You are going to become Avraham and Sarah, and they are destined to have a child, and therefore he was removing him, so to speak, above the stars. And then verse 6, and he believed in Hashem. So Rashi understood that to mean that Avraham believed in Hashem. Rashi said, what did it mean that Avram would believe in Hashem? He's a prophet. It meant he didn't ask for a sign. As we will see in the next episode of our story, in which Hashem then promises Avraham not children, but the land of Eretz Yisrael, there Avraham is going to ask, what's the sign that I'll inherit it? So the way Rashi understood here in our first half of the story, when the pasuk says Avraham believed in Hashem, what it meant to believe in Hashem was not even to request a sign that it will happen. Even though, as we mentioned last week, we find often promises of Hashem come with a sign, the classic example being the rainbow, in which Hashem says, I will not destroy mankind, and here is the sign. And we find that elsewhere in Tanakh, the he'emin b'Hashem, that Avram believed in Hashem was, that was it, end the conversation. Hashem said to Avram, you will have children, takes him outside, and Avram had no further questions. Now the Ramban is going to ask, and we'll see this today, still, why is that, like, what? Even that doesn't fully answer the question, says the Ramban. What do you mean he believed in Hashem, so he didn't ask for a sign? This is a prophet talking. Why is that sufficient for the He'emin b'Hashem? We'll get to that today, Mirtz Hashem. And then the last phrase that we did last week, Vayachshaveh lo tzedakah, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So we have in the English translated as Rashi does, that the fact that Avraham didn't ask for any sign, Hashem considered that as an act of righteousness of Avraham, that he did not ask for any sign. That's how Rashi reads the story, that his fear was born out of punishment or out of using up his reward. Hashem reiterates that he will get a great reward, Avram says, what do I need this reward for? I don't have any children. Hashem says, no, you will have children. Takes him outside, gives him this new promise, and then Hashem, Avram at this point believes in Hashem, and Hashem considered that righteousness that he believed in. And the questions that we'd be left with would be, is this not the third time that he's been promised children? We had the promises of children prior to this chapter as well, so why are we still dealing with all of that, and what is the great righteousness of Avram that he's believing in Hashem? But that is how Rashi basically learns, as we saw last week. Yeah, quick question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you how you're going to make a presentation of a different nature than what we just went through.
A little bit, yeah.
And a little bit different. So I want to ask you, how do we assimilate these two?
I can't answer that right now. It's a good question. Let's first learn it, and then that's a much larger, the different interpretations of the Chumash. So that's not for now. So that's a good question, but first we need to see the other interpretation, and then we can talk about that. But that will be a after the class, if you'd like, we can have a discussion. It's a fair question. Okay, let us see the Ramban on these six verses. So everyone have the Ramban? There's an addendum, just in case you're confused. There's page 243. That's a single page. It got left out of the packet of the Ramban. It's just I missed that page somehow. So when we get up to it, you'll have your page ready to go. Okay, so far so good. Everyone ready? Okay, the Ramban says as follows. Vayhi Dvar Hashem al Avram b'machazeh, beginning on the bottom, of course, the Ramban elucidated. So the first thing that the Ramban calls attention to is the word machazeh, that the word of Hashem came to Avram in a vision. So the Ramban points out that a vision is different. Every other time until this point where Hashem has spoken to Avram, and we've seen numerous instances up until this point that Hashem has conversed with Avram, it's always Vayeroi Lov or Vayariv. He appeared before Avram and spoke to him. This idea of it being a vision is the first time that's being used as the form of communication between Hashem and Avram. Says the Ramban, Avram now merited that the word of God should come to him in a vision during the day. Ki mitchila, for initially, his prophecies were through nighttime visions. So that the word machazeh, that it came in a vision, signifies something different. That this prophecy is a greater, higher level prophecy than what we've had before. So this is just a Ramban, sort of like an introduction to the story that we will read. There's something significant about this story. And the form of prophecy, which immediately came following the war of the four kings and the five kings, was unique. It had not appeared, he had not appeared to Avram this way before. It was always in a nighttime vision. That was generally how prophets received their prophecy, was in a sleep-like trance at night. Except, of course, for Moshe, who was wide awake, tell that he spoke to Hashem as a man speaks to his fellow friend. But this was a vision somewhere in between. It wasn't like Moshe conversing peh-el-peh, but it wasn't like the regular prophets who are in a sleep-like trance at night. This was a vision during the day. We'll keep that in mind as we go through. The next little paragraph, which we'll just quickly mention, the phrase is an interesting phrase. The word of Hashem came to Avram in a vision. Those two things are a funny thing. In a vision, you see things. If it's the word of Hashem that comes to me, then I use my ears. To put together the idea that the word of Hashem came to Avram in a vision is a funny usage of word. The words come to my ears and I hear it, or I see a vision. But that the word of Hashem came to Avram in a vision is a funny combination. And the Ramban mentions, I'm not going to explain that. Those who are well-versed in the study of Kabbalah understand that. And if you don't understand it, then it's not for you. And therefore, I'm not going to get into it either, because I don't know anything about it. But the Ramban...
Didn't they hear the thunder?
So the Ramban references that. You see,
they heard the lightning.
No, they heard... Right, they heard... That the Ramban references that this has to do with the same idea that people are seeing thunder and hearing lightning. That has to do with that over there, and whatever deep mystical meaning that is fine, but that's not for us today. Okay, what's the main thing we're starting with is that the Ramban understood, this was simply the idea of a higher level prophecy, that it was as a vision as opposed to in a dreamlike at night. Now, which is interesting, I just want to keep that in mind. One of the things that happens at the end of this prophecy is Hashem says to Avram, come outside with me and look at the stars and see if you can count them. Now, if it's a normal prophecy at night in a sleep-like trance, so at least it's nighttime. But the Ramban is saying this is actually a higher level of prophecy, and it was taking place during the day. which makes for an interesting concept of see the stars, and we'll see if that adds to the medrash to where the sages saw this must mean more than just going outside for the drama of like taking a look, but going above the stars. We'll take a, but just keep that in mind. This was a higher level prophecy which was taking place during the day. And again, also remember that the end of the story, which we have not been focusing on now, where he takes the animals and he cuts them in half. Then there's this great darkness which descends, and he deep sleep. So there will be nighttime stuff, and the sun coming and going will play a major role later. So just as a header, the Ramban understands this as a daytime vision. Okay, let's move on. Top of page 341. Is anyone fine with me? I know I've given out so many sheets. I'm hoping that's confusing you. I started on the top of the page. It said Ramban, section 1. So flip over that whole packet, see if you got the right one. The whole thing. Yeah, you're right. You're the right thing. We just started it from the other side. Flip the whole... Yeah, so now we're on the top there. We started on the bottom here.
Oh, okay.
Now we're on the top there.
I was reading it.
You're reading it like it should have been read at the Hebrew book, but I photocopied it in an English book to keep it straight, and because you did it right, you got okay. It's fine. Okay, so now we're on the top of page 341. Top meaning the top of the bottom half of the page where we go through the Ramban. Al tira Avram, fear not Avram. So the opening line, Hashem introduces the conversation, he introduces the dialogue with don't be afraid. Now we mentioned in Rashi, how did Rashi understand the fear of Avram? So two-part fear. It was a fear of punishment for having killed so many people at war, and it was a fear of using up his reservoir of merit. Because since the war was miraculous, so when a miraculous event takes place in which we change the nature of the world, we need to cash in our chips in order for that to happen. So Rashi understood, Avram was afraid, he had cashed in all of his chips for the miraculous events of the war. That was Rashi, how he read what... So that's the discussion in terms of when we cash in our chips, are this world, that's an interesting question. Clearly... There's room to say that it was all on Habah. There's an episode in the Talmud, the Gemara records, there's a sage, I forget who it was at this point, who was very poor, absolutely with nothing, total abject poverty. And so his wife complained to him. He said, this big Talmud Chacham, we have nothing. The pantries are bare, the refrigerator is empty, and nothing to eat. So he davened to Hashem, and a golden leg from a table... I can't remember exactly how the Gemara says if it fell from heaven or if he found it. I don't remember exactly what it was. And they sold the golden leg, and they got money and they bought food. So she says to him, where'd that come from? So she said, well, I took it from the table of the world to come. I took it from our table.
Wow.
So now we only have three legs in the world to come, but we needed food. So she said, forget it. I'm not giving up my world to come for a little bit of food over here. You take it, golden food and leg, and give it back. I don't want it. So I'm not getting into the meaning of that, but there's a source for the concept that we can sometimes take what would have otherwise been our eternal next worldly reward, and if necessary, use it in. It's a fascinating that there's a discussion needs to be had in terms of the meaning of what the sages are conveying, but there is such an incident is recorded in the Gemara. But in any case, on to the Ramban, top of page 34, middle of page 341. What did Avram have to fear? Again, since Hashem opens the conversation and says, fear not, Avram, clearly he was afraid. Says the Ramban, two things. Number one, fear of the kings he had just routed that they may increase their armies and regroup against them, either they or their successors. And in the ensuing battle, he would go forth and perish. So the Ramban has a much more practical fear that Avram was bothered by. I just went to war. I'm afraid. I'm a single guy, got the small little army, they might regroup. This is very similar to what we'll find two generations later. Yaakov, when his sons attack Shechem, the city of Shechem, after they abducted his daughter Dinah, and then Shimon and Levi, they go in the middle of the night, they wipe out the whole city. So Yaakov says he was very angry with them, and the simple reading of the Chumash is that he was afraid that if he was going to be walking through the countryside, they were going to be the targets of the hatred of the locals. That they just went ahead and perpetrated this murder in the city of Shechem. He's afraid. What did you do to us? So Avram here, according to the Ramban, his fear, his first of his two fears, was a very practical concern of, I got to worry about all of these kings right now. Number two, says the Ramban, and his day would come to die without offspring. So one fear is related to the episode which just took place, the war of the four kings and the five kings, whereas Rashi learned it as a more, this fear of punishment that sounded more like a punishment from God. The Ramban says, no, he was afraid of the other kings. And secondly, says the Ramban, he was afraid that simply he was going to die without any children. Therefore, Hashem's response to him is twofold. Number one, I am a shield to you. Now, how does the Ramban's understanding of the shield differ from Rashi's? So from Rashi, somebody pointed this out last week. When according to Rashi, when Hashem says, I'm a shield for you, who is he a shield from? Who was Avram afraid of? Being punished for killing all of these people. Who is he going to be punished by?
God.
Sounded like from Hashem, the simple reading of Rashi. So when Hashem says, I'll be a shield for you, it almost sounds like he was saying, I'll be a shield and protect you from the punishment. It sounds a little bit odd. But the Ramban is much clearer. Avram was afraid of them out there. And Hashem is saying, I will be a shield to you to protect you from the forces out there. Now, it could be that's what Rashi meant when he was afraid of being punished for killing people, but it didn't sound that way. The simple reading of Rashi sounded like he was afraid as that from God, that he did something wrong by killing people. But the Ramban is much clearer. Avram's fear was from the people out there. And the phrase, Mogein Avraham, the shield of Avram, means, I will be a source of protection from those outside who wish to do you harm. I will protect you from that. And then the second phrase that Hashem says, and your reward will be very great, says the Ramban, the Odin, furthermore, your reward will be very great. Now, that didn't answer the way Ramban is going to set up this problem, or this dialogue, that didn't really answer the issue here. According to the Ramban, Avram had two issues. One, he was going to be attacked by the kings, and two, he doesn't have any children. So, Hashem responds, A, don't worry about being attacked, I'll be a shield for you, and two, your reward is going to be great. Now, the way the Ramban said, that's not going to answer his problem. He was afraid of dying without children. He's not worried about his reward. So, therefore, continues the Ramban, Avram's response was, what do you mean my reward is going to be great? My concern is, you haven't given me any, what can you give me if I don't have any children? Says the Ramban in verse 2, Avram was saying here, now, you have saved me from the kings, which I am fine with, but you have not reassured me regarding my concern over dying childless. You have only said that you'll grant me great reward. But what comfort can my reward be to me without children? So that Avram responds, I don't care about my reward. I'm concerned that I'm going to die without children. I can't enjoy my reward as long as I'm concerned about this prospect. And therefore, what reward can you give me? Now, Ramban is about to ask a question as he continues this dialogue, which we raised in the very beginning. How did Avraham understand the nature of the reward that Hashem was promising? As material reward or as spiritual reward? What does it sound like? So the Ramban is going to agree with you that it sounds like material reward, that Hashem is saying, I'm going to give you great reward, you're going to have houses and cars, and it's going to be great. And Avraham says, what do I need that for? Well, it's not going to help me. What's going to happen to it after I die? I have this Eliezer, my servant, but nothing else. So Ramban asks, why did Avraham think that the reward that he was being promised was to serve? Maybe he was promising him eternal reward for Avraham himself. That wouldn't make sense for Avram to then go into launch into his complaint about children. That's not the reward. How did Avram know that Hashem was responding in a material way? That his response of what are you going to give me? Why is that the appropriate response? Says the Ramban. Now here he introduces. Is that question clear?
Yeah.
Says the Ramban. A idea that he introduces here, which he writes throughout his commentary on Chumash. Comes up in recurring places, and it's one of the fundamental ideas that the Ramban has. And he says, as follows, I'll introduce it with my own question before we read it inside. How do we know that a Jew, when we die, will receive eternal reward in the world to come? How do we know? Where in the Chumash does it say that there's a concept of eternal reward? Where is there a concept in the Torah that says there's a concept of Olam Haba?
It doesn't.
Correct. There is no verse in the Chumash nowhere that says, in an explicit way, sometimes we find the hint, the sages, but a verse that you can point to with an English translation and say, here, this is what it says. It doesn't say it anywhere. Not a single verse anywhere in the Chumash. What do we find that the Torah talks about when it says, if you follow my commandments and do everything that I tell you to do?
You'll have long life.
Yes.
Israel will prosper.
Right, rain, prosper, very material things. You'll have crops, you'll have animals, you'll have food, you'll have peace, you'll have land. Every single time the Torah describes it, if you will only follow in my way and heed my word and do that which I tell you, the end of that is always physical. Always physical. Not once is there a reference of, and you'll receive eternal reward, bliss, the soul, just you and me for eternity. It doesn't say it anywhere. Now the sages are replete with it. That's all the sages talk about. And Turkey Evos, everything that we do is preparing for the world to come, prepare yourself in the antechamber before you walk into the boat. That's all they talk about. But the Torah only talks about this world. So the Ramban has an approach in which he expresses that, which he says over here, which we'll read it inside in terms of how he understands that, and which explains in his mind why when Hashem promised Avram, you'll receive great reward, Avram understood that to mean physical reward. Which is why Avram responded, I don't want your physical reward. What's going to happen to it when I die? But how did Avram know that's what he was talking about? Says the Ramban. Lo on the bottom of 341. Lo olo bedaito. It never entered Avram's mind that this promise of great reward will be in the world to come. Didn't even enter his mind as a thought that Hashem promises him you'll have great reward. Now, if Hashem came to any of us and said, you will have great reward, we would all assume it means in the world to come. Avram didn't enter his mind that that's what Hashem was talking about. Says in Ramban, why? Number one, for this, flipping on the next page, does not require a promise. The idea that a Jew does a mitzvah, follows the words of Hashem, should receive eternal reward, you don't need a promise for that. Ki kol oved Elokim yimtzo chayim lefonav. Every person who serves God will find eternal life before him. That doesn't need to be said. The Ramban's understanding is that that doesn't need a promise. The Torah needs to tell us things which we wouldn't have known on our own. Things which don't necessarily make sense. So that a person does a mitzvah. The Jewish people, let's say, keep the mitzvah of Shemitah. They let the land lay fallow during the seventh year. What does the Torah promise us? Peace, good crops, everything will be good. See, that doesn't make any sense. What does keeping Shemitah have to do with rain? What does keeping Shemitah have to do with our neighbors not waging wars with us? So the Torah says, you don't think this has anything to do with it. I'm telling you, if you do this, that will result in this. You want to know whether or not there'll be exile? Look and see if they're keeping Shabbos. Look and see if they're wearing tefillin. What connection does tefillin have to do with rain? So Hashem says, I'm telling you. And that he needs to tell you. Do I need to tell you that after a person dies, that the neshama should go off to Shemayim and receive its reward? Where else is the neshama going to go? Once the starting point is, Vayifach ba'apav, that Hashem blew into the nostrils of man, the breath of life, that it came, the soul of man is a chelik, is a portion of Hashem himself, and that now man is comprised of soul and body, so that when a person dies, body goes back into the earth, and the soul, where should it go? Obviously, says Ramban, it goes back to where it came from. Where did it come from? It came from the presence of Hashem. And what should happen to it there? Well, what's the purpose of this whole life, if not there? So that doesn't even need to be said, he writes. That's the most obvious of the premise of life itself, that when life ends in this world, that the body returns to the place from where it came, and the soul will return from the place from which it came. And I don't need to tell you that, because that is a given. And therefore, when Hashem says to Avram, don't worry, you'll have great reward. It didn't enter Avram's mind that Hashem was telling him, believe me, when you die, there'll be great eternal reward. I don't need a promise for that. Nobody needs a promise for that. In fact, we don't even need a promise for that, because the Torah didn't even feel it necessary to tell us that promise. Forget about Avram being told that promise. There's no need for that. But that there should be this worldly reward, that things should be good, that there should be blessings, there should be prosperity, there should be health, that's not a given for anyone. That, if I promise you reward, that makes sense. That you're promising me good things in this world that I need a promise for. So since to Avram, that's the only thing that Hashem would be talking about, he said, but what are your this worldly promises worth to me, since when I die, it's all going to be gone. I don't have any children to pass it on to. But it was clear to Avram that the topic that was being discussed was this worldly reward. As the Ramban continues, four lines in, and therefore, I'm sorry, two lines in, or three, let me begin the third line. In this world, however, there are righteous people to whom there befalls recompense, like the deeds of the wicked. We find righteous people who suffer in this world like the wicked. We find wicked people who prosper in this world like the righteous. And therefore, one requires an assurance. There it makes sense to promise something good, because there's no guarantee in this world for anything. The next world, guaranteed. You don't need any promise. This world, of course, you have to have a guarantee, because we're not promised anything as far as goodliness in this world. And therefore, the Torah tells us, I'll promise you, if you keep my mitzvahs, I'll give you this. Because you wouldn't have thought otherwise that that would be true. Furthermore, says the Ramban, God's wording of your reward is very great. Scharcha harbe mo'od, it's very great, implied that you would merit to eat at two tables, meaning all the material goodness that befits completely righteous people with no punishment for sins. And then furthermore, God's assurance was in response to what Avram feared. After Avram made this request, Hashem therefore repeated and explained his promise that he need not fear this childlessness either. For he will make his offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven, as we will get to see. Okay, so far what the Ramban is expressing is, Hashem, Avram has a fear. His fear is A, the other king is going to gang up against him, and he's going to die childless. He's still afraid, he has this fear. Says Hashem, don't worry about the other nations, I'll be a shield to you. And as far as your childless goes, you're going to have great reward. So Avram says, great reward? My fear is having children. What are you giving me great reward for? So first of all, says Ramban, it's clear that Avram understood it was being promised this worldly stuff. That was clear, because there's no need to be promised next worldly things. That's a given in all of Judaism. It's a given from the fact that a person fulfills the mitzvahs of Hashem, his soul will be rewarded. So therefore he understood it being this worldly. Now, Hashem, therefore, that was the next coming up verses in which Hashem promises him, don't worry, he assures him, you will in fact have children. That's why he gives them that assurance here to Abraham's fear. Now we can ask the question that we've been asking in Rashi, and so we read through the Psukim. Why did Abraham need another assurance? He'd been told already twice. Once when he left Haran for the first time and came to the land of Eretz Yisrael, Hashem promised him, your offspring will be great. Then a second time he was promised will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. And yet he's still fearful that he's going to die childless. So much so that Hashem has to come and assure him, you will have offspring, you will not be Eliezer, you will have a child. Why didn't he believe him the first two times? Says the Ramban. So Yeshalach Elishal, it would be appropriate for you to ask at this point. It had already been told to Avram, for all the land that you see to you I will give it, and to your descendants. And I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth. So how could he say now, seeing that I am going childless, and a member of my household inherits me, why did he not believe the first prophecy as he would believe this one? So the Ramban adds, what's going to happen in verse 6? V'ha'emin b'Hashem, that Avraham believed Hashem. So he's been given the promise twice. And what's his response to the first two times he's been given the promise? I go childless, I'm not going to have any children. What's it worth it to me? He doesn't believe him. And now Hashem says, takes him outside and says, you're going to have children as numerous as the stars. And what's Avram's response? He believed in Hashem. Asks the Ramban, I don't understand. First two times he was promised, and he's still not clear. And now he's promised, and he goes outside, and he gets the promise of the stars, and all of a sudden, the hand in Hashem. Now he believes in Hashem. What changed? What's the difference between the first two promises and this one? Well, all of a sudden, Avram believed that which Hashem says was going to come true. And he didn't believe in the first two times. You can go to your addendum. This page got left out. It's page 343. So the Ramban here answers with another idea which he expresses several times throughout the Chumash as well. It's on the top of page 343. The answer is, Ki atzadikim lo ya'aminu ba'atzmam. The righteous do not trust in themselves, b'cheta'om b'shkago, due to their inadvertent sins. The righteous assume that they were given a promise, but the promise is conditional upon their behavior maintaining itself in the way that they were behaving when they were given the promise. and they walk around with a concern that they've done something wrong. Maybe they don't remember, maybe they don't realize, but that somehow they're no longer in the spiritual place that they were when the promise was given, and since they've fallen, that the promise might not be upheld. And that if it isn't kept, they would say, of course it wasn't kept. I've fallen from the place that I was originally. And because I have fallen, I have slipped in my spiritual standing, the promise isn't valid anymore. The promise is only binding if you're in such and such a place. And you're not there anymore. You're not the same person. You've fallen. And therefore the righteous are constantly concerned that even though they've been assured by Hashem of certain blessings and promises, that they won't see them fulfilled because of their own shortcomings. Vihine, a couple lines down, and now that he saw himself advanced in years, and the prophecy had not yet been fulfilled, so what's the response? In other words, here you have a great example. Avram's given a promise, you're going to have children as numerous as the dust of the earth. Now he's getting old. What's the response? So one response is, can't trust God. Listen, he made his promise, and he's not keeping his word. What's the other response? I am not the same person. I have fallen. And the response of the tzaddikim is, I must not deserve it. I now have this war with the four kings and the five kings, and I'm victorious, and now I'm afraid of them punishing me back. They're going to get to me. And I don't have any children. Hashem says, don't worry, your reward is great. And Avram says, you're going to give me all this reward, but I must have clearly fallen from my spiritual stature when you promised me all these children, because look, I'm old. It's not going to happen. And I don't deserve it. He assumed that his sins had withheld the goodness of God's promise. Perhaps he was concerned specifically now that he might be punished for the people that he had killed in his war with Kedar La'Omer and the other kings, as the sages say, and he quotes what Rashi had said, and possibly now he has this concern after having waged his battle that he's going to be punished for that which all of the death that he caused because of the war. And he brings later that we find a similar thing from Yaakov, who was also afraid. Yaakov also always being afraid, Vayirom Yaakov Vayetzelo, he was afraid when it came to his battles with Esav. What was his fear? Also that his sins during his time with Lavan would have caused him to fall from his stature, and he no longer would be deserving of the protection of Hashem. And that's an idea that, again, the Ramban ties into various ideas, that the righteous are always afraid that they're taking missteps. They're always afraid that they've done something wrong. So therefore, that is why Avram didn't believe in the first two promises. Okay, let's move back to our other sheets, 344.
Do you think Moshe was concerned about that, or was he concerned about the Jewish people's missteps and losing credit with Hashem?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Probably more the people than his own.
Yeah.
That'd be my assumption. Okay, let's move to page 345. And get to how Abraham now, how Hashem addresses the fears of Abraham. All right, let's start from the top there, verse 4. So Avram makes his two statements, I have no children, I'm going childless, what can you give me? And then the word of Hashem came suddenly to him and said, no, that one, Eliezer, he's not going to inherit you. So starting from the little introduction to the previous verses, the Ramban explained that Avram had two distinct complaints. Number one, that he could not enjoy any material reward, his loneliness. What is the reward going to be worth to him? He has nobody to pass it on to. And number two, that he cannot understand how great reward could come his way if the original promise him of having children was never yet fulfilled. So Hashem said to him suddenly that you will have children, and that this one, Eliezer, is not going to be the one to inherit you, because he would have a son who would inherit him after his old age. God reassured him only regarding the inheritance, assuring him that he should not be concerned about it, for his descendant would inherit it. Meaning, so that don't worry, your inheritance will come to a child. Why is it suddenly? What does it mean that the word of Hashem suddenly came to him? We raised this question originally that he was in the middle of the dialogue, like they're having a back and forth. Why was the word of Hashem suddenly appearing to Hashem? So the meaning of suddenly is that while the while the word that Avram was saying of, look, see, a member of my household inherits me, were still in his mouth. He not barely finished saying them. Boy, suddenly the word of Hashem came to him saying, that one will not inherit you. That was an immediate response to Avram saying, what can you possibly give me? You see that I go childless. And before he could even get the words out of his mouth, Hashem immediately responds and says, not to worry, it's not going to be that one that will inherit you. Okay, the next verse then we have where Hashem takes Avraham outside and shows him the stars of the heaven and says, as in the same way that you can't count the stars of heaven, so too we will have children that will not be able to be counted. So the beginning Rashi, Ramban quotes Rashi, that Avram is not destined to have a child, Sarai is not destined to have a child, but I'm going to take you above or beyond the stars, so to speak, that you yourself will be able to have children. I want to move on, but just as a side point, the Ramban raises the question of what does it mean when Medrash says that Avram saw that he wasn't destined to have a child, he was about to have Yishmael. So that doesn't seem like he needed to have this major change of Avraham and Sarah in order to have a child Yishmael. He was going to have that with Hagar. So the Ramban understands what the Medrash is saying is you will not have a child who will inherit you. You're not destined. It wasn't that you were destined to never have a child, but that you were destined to never have a child who would inherit you, meaning to inherit the spiritual mission that you have been given. That you were not destined to have such a child, but when I take you out and change your name to Avram and Sarai to Sarah, then you are destined to have a child between the two of you who will be able to inherit you. Okay, let's address one more point for today in the Ramban. So, let me actually just go back over to So we'll get to the letter. So in essence, what comes out then as follows. According to the Ramban, Avraham had a fear, a physical fear of retribution from the kings, and that's given over, that's assuaged by Hashem's response of, I'll be a shield for you, don't worry. Well, gain Avraham, I'll be your shield. But then Avraham had a second issue of, I'm all by myself, I don't have any children, of what value are the material rewards that you're promising me? So Hashem says, don't worry, it's not going to be Eliezer. You will in fact have a son, and that son will be here, you will see him inherit you, as opposed to just it being Eliezer. Why did Avraham, according to the Ramban, think, even though he'd been given this promise already twice, that it wasn't going to be fulfilled? He already been given this promise, and his fear was, according to the Ramban,
the stars.
No. He's getting older. And therefore, and why did he think the promise would be fulfilled? What did we just see in the Ramban?
He didn't have enough merit.
Right. He fell. He was doing things that inadvertently wasn't rare. So he'd been given a promise, and now he thought maybe I'm not deserving it anymore. Because look, I'm getting old. I can read the stars. I'm not destined to have this child. Clearly something has happened where I'm not going to have this child. So when Hashem then promises him and says, no, come outside, look at the stars, you're going to have offspring as numerous as the stars, what then is going to be different according to the Ramban? He hasn't said it yet, we're going to see it in a minute. But what must be different about this promise more than the first two that he was given that it would somehow help Avram? It must be a promise that says, this promise is not contingent upon your subsequent behavior. I've already given you that promise, and you have a fear that it's not going to be fulfilled because you've fallen from your place of stature. So if Hashem then guarantees him and says, don't worry, you will have children, they will be as numerous as the stars, part of what must be included in this new promise is a guarantee that it's now fixed. It doesn't matter what's going to happen with you. I will do this regardless, irrespective of where you are spiritually, you will have children. That must be, says the Ramban, what this promise is doing that would be different than something else, which Avram, even though he'd been given the promise, was still fearful that it wasn't going to happen. What is Avram's response to hearing this promise in verse 6? Vehem in Ba'asham. Here, He believed in Hashem. And we'd asked, what was the difference here that he believed more than anywhere else? So Rashi learned that what did it mean when the pasuk says that Avram believed in Hashem? It meant that he didn't even ask for a sign. That's how Rashi read through the pesukim, that Hashem gave him a promise that you'll have children, and Avram didn't ask for any signs. Even though in the next aspect of the story, when he promises him the land, he does ask for a sign. When it came to the children, Rashi said he didn't ask for a sign. For him and Hashem. And he believed in him, and Hashem considered that to be an act of righteousness that he didn't ask for a sign. The Ramban is going to say there's something else going on in the dialogue. He'd been promised already a child twice. He still didn't believe, and the reason why he didn't believe was because of a fear of his own shortcomings. The new promise is therefore going to be, you don't have to worry about it. It's guaranteed. Regardless of what you do from here on out, you will have the fulfillment of that promise. And therefore, the hem in Ba'Hashem, and he believed in Hashem, is different because it wasn't that he lacked belief prior. It's that he lacked belief in himself prior, so that he wouldn't merit the fulfillment of the promise. But now that you're giving me a promise that's irrespective of my future behavior, now vehem in Ba'Hashem. Let's read it inside. Verse 6 on page 347. The phrase, you reckoned it to him as righteousness, is going to be the next phrase. Sorry, what I just set up was the first half of the phrase. Right now that he believed in Hashem, because now he doesn't need any type of sign. And then we get to the back phrase, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness, which was a difficult phrase. Who considered it to who to be righteousness? So we saw already that Rashi understood it to mean that Hashem considered it righteousness of Avraham, that Avraham didn't ask for a sign. In the Ramban's view, it's that Avram now believed in Hashem because he had given him the promise and it was now unconditional. Didn't matter what Avram's future behavior would be. And he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Says the Ramban. First he quotes Rashi that Hashem considered it as righteousness from Avram. But the Ramban doesn't like that. I don't understand what merit this is for Avram. Why should it be that Hashem considered it a merit of Avram, that Avram believed in him and didn't ask for a sign, which is how Rashi learns. Why should he not believe in Hashem? After all, he himself was a prophet who personally heard Hashem's word. Right? And the Ramban then asks, how can someone who believed in Hashem to the extent that he was prepared to slaughter his own beloved son and not believe that he's going to give him a good tidings? Right? Hashem here is promising him good things. So according to Rashi, again, how did Rashi read it? Avram believed in Hashem and didn't ask for a sign, and Hashem considered that righteousness of Avraham that he didn't ask for a sign. Remember it says, we're talking about Avraham who's going to take his son and kill him. He's prepared to do that. And now you give him good news that he's going to get blessings. And he doesn't ask for a sign. That's righteousness? And this is the man who's going to be willing to slaughter his son. Of course he would believe in him. So therefore the Ramban says as follows on the bottom of the page. Therefore the most satisfactory explanation in my view is saying that Avram believed in Hashem that he would have offspring, but he thought it would be because of God's righteousness, meaning benevolence, that he would grant him that offspring in any event, meaning whether he merited it or not, and not on account of Avraham's righteousness or as his just reward. What has just happened in this dialogue? Originally, he'd been promised children, but Avram understood that the promise of children was contingent upon his future behavior. So now that he sees himself getting up in age, and he hasn't had any children, he assumes,
I didn't make it.
I must have fallen. Hashem now gives him a third promise, and says, as numerous as the stars, you will have children, which Avram therefore interprets to mean, you will have children regardless of your future behavior. On that we have the phrase, Vehem in Ba'Hashem, now he believed in Hashem, and he considered it as righteousness of Hashem. Avram thought of it as righteousness of Hashem, that he now promised him something that of total benevolence, that was totally unconditional and not contingent upon his behavior. Meaning we so often want to get into the behavior, the pattern, that when we do things, and Hashem then rewards us, you know, he owed it to us. He needs to do this to me. But that, not that it's a form of righteousness or benevolence from Hashem, it's that, you know, you owe me. So Hashem, Avram here is saying, now that you'll give me children, and the fact that I believe that you're going to be giving it to me, and it's unconditional, it has nothing to do with my behavior, he viewed it as benevolence of Hashem, not that it's viewing how Hashem viewed it from Avram's perspective, but that Avram viewed it as tzedakah, as total benevolence from Hashem's perspective, that he was now being given this, and it had nothing to do with his righteousness, nothing to do with his reward, he was simply going to give it to him out of benevolence. So that even though Hashem had already told him, your reward is very great, and as a result, he would not have to fear that perhaps his sin would cause him to forfeit the promise of having offspring. Because although he thought the first prophecy was to be conditional, Avram originally assumed the promise that he'd been given of children was a conditional type of promise, that it was based on his future behavior in accordance with the appropriate reward for his deeds. Now that Hashem is assuring him that he need not fear that he'll rescind the promise of children because of any sin, and that'll give him offspring in any event. That's why we have the phrase, v'he'emin, that he believed that the matter was ready before God, meaning nachon, it was going to be as true as an unconditional fact.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.